I woke up in the middle of the night.
That's my job.
Okay. I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and in December, and I was praying, and I was talking to God, and I was thinking about transition and how this is transition and this is what it means to me now. I wrote one earlier, and it was transition before, but now this is what it is now. Transition was long. It was tough, and it was trying, but it also has been a time of learning for me. I've learned to listen and to do it without speaking in return. I've learned that God's timing in everything has a lot to do with how each outcome turns out too. I've learned how to lean on God a whole lot more than I did before. I find I want to control certain things, change things, or just make things stop. But going through it all, God's timing and processes teach me patience and the needing to depend on Him and His word more, even if that means biting my tongue or holding back my anger. I need to trust, listen, and try to hear what God is saying. I've cried, was really hurt, and I wanted to quit more than once and walk away from it all and not come back until it was all over and figured out or back to a normal state again. But if I had left, I'd be getting into some other issues or be in a place where I don't know the people. I then think I need to stay where I'm at and pray, trust, and let God sort it all out. Because as much as I want to, I know I can't do it. I then reflect on the very precious gift of family that I do have right here and now in this church. If I leave, I would lose this family that I've learned to love so much. Family is defined as a group of people who are related to each other, just as we are all related to each other through Christ. There are so many people that I've met that mean so much to me. Yes, we all have our different ideas and qualities to offer, but looking at the big picture, I can't live without the church family that I've come to love. Family is a very important thing to me. Even if we all aren't perfect, my life revolves around my family. We all came from a family. We need family. We want to be with family, laugh, cry, and share with family. We need family when we go through pain and hurt, but also we celebrate something special when there's something special. We need family. If I had to die for a member of my family to protect them because I care and love them, I would definitely do it. I feel so blessed to be a part of this church family and can't imagine not having it. God has brought me great appreciation for this amazing family. So through this transition, can we ask ourselves, could we or would we die for any or all of our church family members? I've learned to forgive and be patient. Look for the positives, read my Bible more, stand stronger, love more, pray more, and to hold on tight to what I have. God gave us family. I've laid down my family to God, and we need to let God be the head of this family.
So the morning that, or the night that Deb wrote that, of course I didn't know she was up. When I got up in the morning and I said, "How was your night?" She said, "Not very good. I was up quite a bit." I said, "Oh, what were you doing?" She said, "Well, I was writing a letter." I said, "Can I read it?" And she said, "Yeah, you can." So I read her letter, and I guess it really hit me hard. As she talked about our church family, and so I started to think about this and write some of this stuff down. And so I'm not here to condemn. I'm just sharing my struggle and what God has put in my heart. So I'm going to probably read most of this because I won't be able to handle it otherwise. So after I read Deb's letter, I thought, is there actually scripture in the Bible that talks about us laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ? And yes, there is. And it's easy to remember this one. It's 1 John 3:16. It says, "This is how we know that we love what love it is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." And so I really started to think about this, and I guess I just pictured myself sitting here in this church, and I guess I'd ask you to look around this church at each and every one here, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, I think when Christ talks about that, I mean, he's talking about laying down our lives, but the only way you can do that is to love somebody so deeply. And I'll be honest with you, it's not that I don't love you people here, but I had to really search my heart and say, am I in that place? So I started to think about this body, and was I myself prepared to lay down my life for each and everyone here? And how do I wrap my mind around this? As I struggled with this in my mind, I thought about our church body and the struggle we have had. And I thought perhaps some of our struggle really showed up with COVID. And I can only use myself as an example. First, there was fear. We were inundated through the media with what was going to happen. And I think that it gripped us all. I was fearful. We were all fearful. We didn't know what was going to happen. But at some point, because of the way we each processed how to deal with COVID, we became divided and we put up walls between us. I couldn't, or I didn't, try to seek understanding with those who had different ideas, and sometimes we weren't willing to talk about our differences. I wasn't okay with this. It hurt, and I missed people, and I missed the relationships. After COVID, things somewhat returned to normal, but there was still an underlying hurt. And as we moved into Paul's retirement and the difficulties in the last couple years, I believe our preferences and convictions, our hurts and our opinions cropped up again. Not the same groups, not the same struggles, but struggles, no doubt. As we are all dealing with what was happening, there was division again. And sometimes we chose to blame, to condemn, to make light of, to joke, to jest, or to talk ill of each other at the expense of all of us. It went both ways. And I think we set aside our love for each other in some ways. Now, if this doesn't apply to you, don't take offense. But I think that in the very least it affected us all. And I sure know my struggle. And as God challenged me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ inside this church and outside of this church, well, again, like I said, I love you, but I don't think I'm there to the point, I mean, I know I'm not. I want to love you like Christ loves us. And I think that's what God requires of us. I want to give you a little example of just how sometimes communication can be such a blessing. When Sheila Pateman came on the board, I think it was the first meeting, she said, we need to talk about COVID. And so we did. And so as she explained where her and John were at, where she explained how they'd prayed about it and how they'd, you know, tried to do what was right, what they felt was right. And then, you know, we talked and I told her my story and where I was at, and we were on kind of different pages. But as we talked about that, I think the two of us, we realized that, you know, we seen where we were each coming from, and in that we were able to look at each other and say, I don't ever want anything like this to come between us again. The love for each other that we have needs to be stronger than coming between us. And so for me, that was a real awesome moment. And, you know, it's just been comforting since that time for me to think about. But, you know, there's lots of scriptures about loving each other. 1 John 4:19-21 says, we love him because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar, and whoever does not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is his command. I want you to realize that I didn't realize this, but these are all commands. 1 John 3:23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commands us. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:12-13, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. John 15:17, these things I command you, that you love one another. I guess if we're going to move forward with our new mission and vision, I think we have to be able to forgive each other, to accept our differences, and to be willing to put others first. Love, even when we don't agree. We are different parts of the same body. We need to ask God to search our hearts and to reveal where our hearts need to change and be aligned with him. It starts in our own hearts, and I'm no different. It has to start in my own heart. The reason that we need to do this is because our scripture says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know them? You know, Christ went to the cross for us even though we didn't deserve it. He agonized over this in the garden, but he did it because of his great love for us. He is our example. You know, this church has been around for 122 years, had its ups and downs, but God has blessed the work here. There's been lots of lives changed. Even in our time here, the last 12 years or so, under Paul's teaching, much good news was preached. And you know, the other night, I just love Danny got up and gave us a history lesson on the church, because he's been here 70 years, he said, and it was great to hear that all the way through. And it was just awesome to hear what God has done through all those many years, and God has been faithful. And so that was awesome. And so I just, These are my feelings, my thoughts. I know maybe not everyone is there. And I guess I would just say, in closing, if I've hurt or offended you, please come to talk to me so I can make it right with you. And also, I guess I just had a thought this morning as we're driving, and I thought, there's been lots of fight in this church. How about we fight for this church? Thank you.
Hi, we're just, I'm Don, this is Lee. We're part of the eight-member transition team. The others were Anna Froese, Haley Brochu, Karen Himmel, Dan Krieger, Will Pogmiller, and Craig Pateman, and then Todd was leading us. Just want to say thank you to all those people on that team. We've been at it since the beginning, and December and January were quite excessive months in terms of putting all the stickies together to get the vision and mission right from what you guys have said. So if you look in your bulletins, we're just going to read off the different vision and mission statements. And we hope that you guys can be encouraged that this is what you've put forward. Whenever we were as a team going, well, I want this, God would send us back and say, look at the stickies, what do they say? So this really is from the stickies. We may have done some wordsmithing, but this is what we as a church body have said we want to do. The vision, following Jesus together, that's actually very similar to our original one, which was pursuing Jesus together. We did a little wordsmithing, but that goal is why we exist.
The mission, purposefully creating a community where we pursue Jesus together by inviting our neighbors to join us in following Jesus and becoming more like him through the use of our spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, and resources.
The values is what drives us. So we have five values that we put together. Unity in Christ, by far, was the most desired value and one of the ones that we have. We're not there yet, but it is one of our driving forces. We show Christ's love by bearing one another's burdens. We display unity when we interact with one another in truth and grace.
Outreach. Another one that was very high on the stickies. We follow Christ's calling to reach the spiritually lost and are committed to serving the people in the surrounding communities and beyond.
Prayer. Again, tons of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. Consistent prayer is essential for relationship with God and understanding and acting on His will for our lives.
Biblical teaching and discipleship. We value scripture-based teaching that demands application. We value mentoring in the faith that leads to the multiplication of disciples that then make more disciples and that enables people to serve Christ with their God-given abilities and spiritual gifts.
Meaningful worship. We value spirit-led worship that honors and glorifies God through meaningful, practical teaching and authentic praise that's visible in our daily walk with God. This is not just singing.
I'd just like to add, you can read over these, and if you're not sure what's being said, please ask somebody. You heard Don give the list of transitional committee members that were at all the meetings where we came up with this. Please, if you're not clear and you want to be have a little more clarity, please just ask us, talk to us, and we would love to help you out. So thanks again for all your guys' participation.
Good morning. My name is Brad Keith. I am the current chair for the Deacons Board, and as you know, this is Jim Sandine. He is the head elder. First, we want to thank Pastor Todd and the Transition Committee for leading us through this over the past few months, as it's so super important, and it wasn't easy, and we just thank you for all the time and effort that you guys put in. We wanted to update you on the status of the church finances. Giving has been down lately. In previous years, giving in December is high enough that it would help us through the slow months. The first few months of the year, we are asking that the congregation join the elders and the deacons in prayer as we look at solutions through this period. We have just walked through where the Lord has led us through the new mission and vision for our church. Please, while you join us through prayer, seek God on how to reach our financial needs while reaching our new mission and vision. We thank you for this. God has led us to this. He will bring us through it. Thank you all.